Hello, this is Action Jackson, and today we're talking more about criminal procedure. We've talked about the bail process. We've talked about the arraignment process. I'm still trying to get the plea in abeyance podcast up. I've done one. It's just we're having some technical difficulties, but that one is really important. I highly recommend listening to that because they're offered like candy out here in Utah. Just on a side note, I am not your attorney. I am licensed in Utah, and this is not legal advice that I'm giving to anyone specifically. This is just a general informational podcast for people to learn more about the criminal aspect of what happens in our justice system. And all I can say is if you are seeking legal advice, I would say go get a private attorney and talk to them specifically about the facts of your case. So on that note, today we're going to talk a little bit about the preliminary hearing. And here in Utah, preliminary hearings only happen in district court. So if you're ever charged with a crime in justice court, or also known as municipal court and the city courts, you won't have a preliminary hearing. They only happen in the district courts. Those are the county courts, so Utah County, Salt Lake County, Cache County, Davis County. Those are where they have preliminary hearings. I talked a little bit about in arraignments in municipal court, what they do instead of a preliminary hearing is the prosecutor usually just reads the police report or just some brief statement to show the court that there's probable cause. And that's the key basically to a preliminary hearing and to arraignment is to make sure there's enough evidence to bind this case over to pretrial. So there's a lot of courts where they have decisions, they have roll calls, and you decide whether or not you want to do a preliminary hearing or if you just want to waive it. And what they are is they're basically mini trials, and it's a lower burden of proof. So at trial, the burden of proof is you're guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Here at the preliminary hearing, all they have to prove is that there's probable cause. And probable cause is, there's a lot of different standards out there and legal definitions, but the one I like is that it's more than likely, based off the evidence, that this crime was committed. And so it's just above the 50% chance, I would say. So there's more than a 50% chance that this crime was committed. If there's not more than that chance, then the case needs to be dismissed. There's not enough evidence to bind it over to trial. And so the preliminary hearings, what happens there is sometimes the criminal defense attorneys file motions to suppress evidence based on illegal conduct by the police officers, and they argue that. Also, they'll argue the facts and say that there's not enough evidence there to say that a crime was committed. And so a lot of times what will happen at preliminary hearings, usually the arresting officer will have to go to this and testify to what he saw and what. So when this police officer testifies, he'll be cross-examined. So he'll be directed by the prosecutor. The prosecutor will ask him questions to get evidence out, what he did, if he went to a house, to talk about what he did to get the warrant and where the individual was, if there was evidence of the crime, what evidence of the crime he saw. If it's something like a DUI, he'll testify to what he saw as far as driving patterns or a call-in, and then talk about how he pulled over that individual and the field sobriety test that he did and the evidence he got from that. And then after that, the criminal defense attorney cross-examines the officer to ask him questions, make sure that everything matches up, and then both sides make their arguments on whether or not there's enough evidence to bind the case over. That's basically what a preliminary hearing is. They can be very expensive if it's a very fact-intensive case, but sometimes, it all comes down to each specific case and the facts of the case and what's there and what isn't there on whether or not a preliminary hearing should be set. If it seems like there really is a good reason why there's not enough evidence, there's not even probable cause to bind this case over, then a preliminary hearing should be set. But if it seems like it's one of those cases where it's kind of closed and shut as far as probable cause and there's enough evidence there, then it might be in the best interest to just waive that preliminary hearing and focus on trial instead of focusing on preliminary hearing. The benefits of preliminary hearing as well, though, is kind of a first shot at trial and what people are going to testify to and determining the strengths and the weaknesses of the case. And so coming out of a preliminary hearing, usually someone charged with a crime can kind of get a feel for where they're at in this case and the burden that the prosecutor has against them and the evidence they have, and that might help resolve the case. So preliminary hearings are good. They help kind of weed out the cases to make sure that that officers really are gathering enough evidence. That's kind of a roadblock just so people aren't getting charged without police officers doing their full investigation. So it's just kind of a checkup to make sure all the I's are crossed and the T's are dotted, if you will. And so they are very important. Some other states or also the federal government, instead of preliminary hearings, they can do grand juries. And so a grand jury is the same thing, but in a preliminary hearing, it's just the judge that determines whether or not there's probable cause. So that's what they do here in Utah. With a grand jury, it's a jury. It's people by your peers chosen to determine whether or not there's enough evidence to indict this individual with this charge. And so those are obviously more for the bigger crimes, and they can be a lot more longer and fact intensive. And also with preliminary hearings and grand juries, there's less rules of evidence. There's more things that can get in as far as hearsay and stuff like that. There's still, in Utah, there's still rules on hearsay, but I mean, those are just nitpicky things on preliminary hearings. But anyways, so they are important to the justice system. They're important. I think next podcast we'll probably talk about what happens between the preliminary hearing and then pretrial. And so what happens after the preliminary hearing is if the judge says, yes, there's enough evidence here, then the case is binded over to a pretrial court date. And so at pretrial, it's more gathering evidence, determining whether or not there's enough to charge this person, and kind of have both parties, the prosecutor and the defendant, decide where they're at in the case. So that's what happens after the preliminary hearing. So it's more investigating. So it seems like a lot of people think that in the criminal justice system, you're charged with a crime and you go to jail and then you go before the judge and they decide whether or not you're guilty or not guilty, and then you go to jail forever. But that's really not how it works. There's a lot at stake. Your liberty interest is the most important thing. And so these things do take time. I mean, usually when you're arraigned and they tell you of your charges, you get arraigned and nothing happens there, you plead not guilty, and then it's continued, and usually it's continued for about a month. And so there's a month between your first court appearance and the preliminary hearing. And then there's the preliminary hearing, and then if they decide that there's enough evidence to bind it over, then they'll continue the matter for another month to a pretrial. And then also between the preliminary hearing, it can be continued to decide whether or not to do a preliminary hearing waiting on the evidence. And if a case goes to trial, say you're arraigned in July, and then in August there's a preliminary hearing, and for some reason there's enough evidence and the preliminary hearing goes, and then it gets continued to September for a pretrial, and then for some reason both parties feel that they have enough evidence and they want to take it to trial, then that trial will be set in October. So if you're charged with crime in July, then you might not have trial until October. But also there's also a constitutional guarantee to a speedy trial. That's something that needs to be talked about more in depth later on. Usually you have 60 days to be arraigned and have a speedy trial, but sometimes speedy trials aren't the best way to go as far as investigation and making sure there's everything there. But that is a constitutional right. So theoretically, if someone's charged, they should have a right to have a trial. If they're charged in July, they should have a trial. In early July, it should be the end of the beginning of September, basically. But that's usually not how it works out. Usually, really how it's playing now in the criminal justice system is that if you're charged in July, the fastest is usually October, if not later. And also what judges have to look at is other trials that are on the docket, and the first person that sets it for trial, the first attorney that sets it for trial gets first come, first serve. And so if there's another person ahead that has a trial set, then they have to wait even longer. So it can be quite a long process. And the whole reason why plea agreements are important, I know I'm kind of trailing from preliminary hearings, but the reason why plea agreements are so important in the criminal justice system is that if it wasn't for plea agreements and everyone was just going to trial on all their cases, pretty much the justice system would break down because there just wouldn't be time to do all these trials. Trials take a long time, and you had to call in a jury if you want a jury, and they can take a day or two, and it takes up the judge's entire time, so a judge can't look at other defendants, what's going on. And so that's why plea agreements are so important in the justice system. It kind of frees up the court. So anyways, that's my podcast on preliminary hearings. If you have any questions, feel free to visit my website. And if you're charged with a crime, feel free to give me a call, and we can kind of talk about the facts of your case and get everything figured out. Anyways, this is Action Jackson signing off.